This is Fresh Air. In 1973, jazz composer and bass virtuoso Charles Mingus signed his last recording contract with Atlantic Records. He'd stay with the label till his death in 1979. A new box set collects his 70s Atlantic records. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has a listen.
Opus 4, 1973, from the 7-CD Charles Mingus box, Changes, the complete 1970s Atlantic studio recordings. In that period, he led his last great working quintet before his health declined. The quintet's first album was so-so, but they burned bright on 1974 sessions for the LPs Changes 1 and Changes 2. Those albums include four late-period Mingus classics. One is an ode to his devoted wife, Susan Graham Mingus, Sue's Changes. Charles Mingus' quintet with his most simpatico drummer Danny Richmond and Don Pullen on piano. Tenor saxophonist George Adams blew howling free jazz solos, gut bucket blues, and sanctified gospel, and had a way with a rapturous ballad like Mingus' bow to the master called Duke Ellington's Sound of Love. In 1976 and 7, expanded Mingus groups recorded a couple of thematically rich film scores that didn't get used but made up his last great album, Cumbia and Jazz Fusion. One episode on the title track got a strong buzz from a lowdown trio, contrabass clarinet, bass trombone, and bassoon. Over the top, the quintet's trumpeter Jack Walrath and Mingus vet Jimmy Nepper preached the blues. The 1977 album, Three or Four Shades of Blues, was one for the record company. Mingus played some old faves with an expanded cast, including three young electric guitarists, also heard on the Atlantic label. The project invokes 70s jazz rock sensibilities, as much as Mingus's rollicking churchiness. Larry Coryell on guitar. The story goes Mingus hated that album till he heard how well it was selling. But the protean bassist was beginning to fade and was diagnosed with a neurodegenerative disease, ALS. Soon he could neither play nor write down the music he heard in his head. He'd give generalized instructions to associates like Jack Walrath, who'd write the actual score, which was credited to Mingus alone. He didn't play on the final sessions under his name, but a big band overstuffed with guest stars did. Ensemble passages could be shaggy, and the strings of solos went on and on. But there were some authentically Mingus-y textures here and there. That's Jimmy Nepper and Slide Hampton on trombones. Alto saxist Charles McPherson on Something Like a Bird from 1978, a year before Charles Mingus died. The 7-CD set Changes is admirably tiny. If anything, this inch-thick mini-box is a little too small. You'll need your magnifying glass to read the old LP liner notes shrunk to CD size, and I wish Mingus expert Andrew Holmesy's new notes had been longer. The half-hour Something Like a Bird had been split over two sides on LP, and the reissue unwisely leaves it in pieces instead of restoring the continuous performance. The Mingus Changes box is a mixed bag. Some brilliant music, then a hero's tragic fate, trying to command larger forces as his strength slips away.
Kevin Whitehead is the author of the book Play the Way You Feel, The Essential Guide to Jazz Stories on Film. He reviewed the new Charles Mingus box set Changes, the complete 1970s Atlantic studio recordings. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Roberta Shorrock, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Thea Challoner, and Susan Nyakundi. Our digital media producer is Molly C. V. Nesper. Seth Kelly directed today's show. For Terry Gross and Tanya Mosley, I'm Dave Davies.